What up, y'all? You're listening to Sports Talk with Trop, and I'm your host, Katie Trop. Well, these NBA conference finals are very one-sided on both sides in the Western and Eastern Conference. It kind of seems like two teams have decided to not show up, so let's get into both sides of that, beginning with the Dallas Mavericks and the Minnesota Timberwolves. The Western Conference Finals so far has been completely dominated by the Dallas Mavericks. In Game 2, it was a crazy game, back and forth the whole way through, but Dallas ended up getting the huge win, 109-108 in Minnesota. Luka had the game-winning three, and it was crazy to see. He also had a triple-double on the night, 32 points, 13 assists, and 10 rebounds. Kyrie Irving also dropped 20 points as well, so it was a huge night from the Dallas Mavericks, and it was pretty crazy to see. I mean, Luka, he just had this beautiful step-back three right in their faces, and boom, knocked it right on down, and then the Timberwolves weren't able to make the game winner themselves because they only had a couple seconds left on the clock, and Luka was talking hella shit in their face. And then in Game 3, it was pretty close in the first half. But the Dallas Mavericks pretty much just dominated this game for pretty much the majority of the game. They got the win 116-107. Luka dropped 33 points. Kyrie dropped 33 points. And they were just on all fucking night long. Game 4 takes place Tuesday night in Dallas. Dallas is up 3-0. So Minnesota, they have to get the win or else they are done for. But at this point in time, I don't really think they have a shot. I mean, they really haven't been able to. They have not looked good, really, in any of the three games so far. It's pretty much just been Dallas dominating every single game so far. Even in the close matchups, Dallas just has really not looked down. Luka has been on, even though he's been injured as all hell. You could tell this guy is just battling. I mean, in Game 3, there were a couple shots. Like, as soon as the game started, his first shot, he steps back and he's grimacing down the court. That's just kind of how it's been for Luka, but he's been able to manage it and he's been able to just lock it down and have spectacular games here. But also, like I said, in the previous round, I felt like Kyrie Irving is the X factor for this team. He has to step it up. He has to be a big player if they want to win. And so far in every win, they have They've locked it down, and he's been a huge factor as to why. Like I said, game 4 is Tuesday night in Dallas. Then the Eastern Conference Finals, the Boston Celtics versus the Indiana Pacers. Game 3 actually was yet another Indiana Pacers fall apart game. They had no Tyrese Halliburton, which was crazy. I thought they were just going to get completely blown out. Well, turns out Indiana came right out the gate, and they actually had a 19-point lead at one point in this game, and it looked like Indiana was just going to completely blow out the Boston Celtics with no Tyrese Halliburton. Then all of a sudden, the fourth quarter rolls around, and there's like, I want to say about 5 minutes left to go in the fourth quarter, and then that's when they really start to blow it, start to fade away. Jason Tatum had a solid game, 36 points, 10 rebounds, 8 assists. Jaylen Brown had a solid game, 24 points. Boston barely got the win, 114-111. This is the second game in this series that the Indiana Pacers should have won, and they completely blow it away in the fourth quarter. And that sucks because, like I said, no Halliburton. It would have been a huge, huge morale booster for them, but now here they are. Game 4 is tonight, Monday night, and Boston's up 3-0, and I would not be shocked if we see a sweep in both of these series, just because both Boston and Dallas are riding high right now. Minnesota and Indiana just can't get it going, and we might be sitting here thinking about the NBA Finals for the rest of the week, just because the Finals actually don't start until next week. So that means if both of these series end tonight and tomorrow, that means we're sitting with no basketball for about a week, which is going to be terrible. But it is what it is. Indiana and Minnesota got to step it up. And even if they do, chances are pretty much slim to none that they're going to win these series. Even if they get one win, that's about all they're going to get at this point, in my opinion. Now turning to baseball, before we get into the power rankings, we did have us a terrible injury this weekend. Ronald Acuña Jr. of the Atlanta Braves tore his ACL and is out for the rest of the season. He already was not having a good season to begin with. This is the reigning MVP. You know, he had a career year last year, but now he has torn his ACL, and this is the second time that's happened in his career, so he's already had to go through this before. He has actually had quite a few debilitating injuries throughout his career, and this is just another one for him, which is just terrible because you never want to see a player like Ronald Acuña Jr. out of the game, especially for the entire season. But that's unfortunately the name of the game, and the Atlanta Braves will be without Ronald Acuña Jr. for the rest of the season. Now let's get into the top 10 MLB power rankings for this week. It did get really difficult for me at the, especially the bottom two teams of this, just because, man, we have some bad baseball being played out there, but then we also have some really good baseball being played out there. So let's get it started with number one on the top 10 MLB power rankings remains the Philadelphia Phillies. Overall record of 38-16. They are 7-3 in their last 10 games. This past week, they took the series against the Texas Rangers and lost the series to the Colorado Rockies, which was just really weird. As a matter of fact, Ranger Suarez suffered his first loss of the season yesterday against the Colorado Rockies, one of the worst teams in the league, by the way, which is just crazy. But it's baseball, and that's going to happen. But as far as the season goes, as I continue to say, the Philadelphia Phillies are the best team in baseball. Right now, they lead the league in runs with 289 runs on the season. They are second in batting average with averaging 258 throughout their lineup. And then they are also third on this in overall on the season in ERA with the lowest, third lowest ERA with a 3.13. So they are just dominating offensively, defensively, starting pitching, bullpen. There really isn't much of a weakness to this team. Like I said, Suarez just suffered his first loss. He was trying to get his 10th win in a row, but eventually he was going to suffer through some type of loss. And the Rockies were able to be that team to finally get to the Phillies. But hey, still looking like the best team in baseball. Then at number two on my top 10 MLB power rankings also remains the New York Yankees. Overall record of 37-18. They're 7-3 in their last 10 games. This past week, they took the series against... They split the series against the Seattle Mariners and then also split a series against the San Diego Padres. They are also just killing it, especially starting pitching. They are first in the league with the lowest ERA overall with a 2.82 ERA. Luis Gil is just, he's come out of nowhere for this team. He's got 6 wins on the season with a 2.11 ERA, which is one of the lowest in the league, and 70 strikeouts. And then Aaron Judge, as I've continued to say, you know, he started off the season slow, but if you were worried about him, you need not be worried about him anymore. Right now, he is batting 280 with 16 home runs and 37 RBI on the season. Those 16 home runs, I believe, is third, fourth in the league. So Judge continues to get better as the season wears on. Then at number three on my top 10 MLB power rankings, one of the hottest teams in the league is the Cleveland Guardians. Overall record of 36-17. They have currently won 9 games in a row. That's the longest winning streak in the league right now. They are 9-1 in their last 10 games. This past week, they swept the New York Mets and the Los Angeles Angels. They are just dominating on every level, and it's just crazy because, like I keep saying about them, they have to keep suffering through all these injuries to their big-time guys, and yet here they are. You've got Jose Ramirez right now batting a 263 with 15 home runs and 52 RBIs, which leads the league right now. So he's starting to get hot. He tends to have his streaky moments where he's hot and cold. Kind of started off the season cold, but right now Ramirez is lighting it up and leading the league in RBIs as well. Then at number four in my top 10 MLB power rankings, I have the Baltimore Orioles. Overall record of 33-18. They're 6-4 in their last 10 games. This past week, they got swept by the St. Louis Cardinals, but then they swept the Chicago White Sox, worst team in the league, but hey, the sweep's a sweep. Adley Rutschman, their catcher, he is having a phenomenal year, batting a 300 with 10 home runs, 35 RBI on the season, and then Corbin Burns, starting pitcher, he is also having a phenomenal year with 4 wins, a 260 ERA, and 66 strikeouts on the year. The Baltimore Orioles, you know, them and the Yankees are going back and forth in that division. It's going to be probably a battle all the way until the last game of the season, I imagine, between these two, because they have they match up very well against each other. They both have very deep lineups that could score a lot of runs, but they also have starting pitching that is also deep from top to bottom, and they're very difficult to score on as well. Then at number 5 on my top 10 MLB power rankings are the Los Angeles Dodgers. Overall record of 33-22, and they are currently on their biggest losing streak in a few years, by the way. They are currently on a 5-game losing streak, 4-6 in their last 10 games, so it is a down time right now for the Dodgers, but hey, they're still one of the top teams in the league, so they've got to be up here. This past week, they took the series against the Arizona Diamondbacks, but they actually lost the series to the Diamondbacks, and then lost the series to the Cincinnati Reds, who have actually had their number so far this season, and the Reds are not that good of a team. I will say, Yamamoto, he is having a solid starting pitching year for the Dodgers. 5 wins with a 3.51 ERA and 69 strikeouts. And as far as offense goes, the Dodgers are second in the league right now with runs, and they have 270 runs on the season. Then at number 6 on my top 10 MLB power rankings, the Kansas City Royals. Overall record of 34-20. They are 8-2 in their last 10 games. This past week, they took the series against the Detroit Tigers and then also took the series against the Tampa Bay Rays. Right now, they are 3rd in the league in runs. They've got 263 runs on the season, which is just crazy. I did not expect anything from the Kansas City Royals, and they have been one of the most consistent teams to start the season. You have Bobby Witt Jr., who's batting a .307 with 9 home runs and 36 RBI on the year, and just having a phenomenal year. So that contract he signed in the offseason is currently paying off for the Royals. Then at number 7 on my top 10 MLB power rankings are the Milwaukee Brewers. Overall record of 30-22. They are 5-5 in their last 10 games. This past week, they lost the series to the Miami Marlins, but won the series over the Boston Red Sox. They're having an up and down year right now. They are kind of in a downswing of their season. Although I will say their starting pitching has been pretty decent so far. They have Colin Ray, who's having a good year with 4 wins, a 3.98 ERA, and 37 strikeouts on the season. Then at number 8 on my top 10 MLB power rankings of the San Diego Padres, overall record of 28-28. They are 6-4 in their last 10 games. This past week, they took the series against the Cincinnati Reds and split the series against the New York Yankees. And they are just getting it done in every way possible as well. They are having no issues scoring runs. You've got Jake Cronenworth having a phenomenal year, batting .270 with 8 home runs and 34 RBI. Then you also have Jurickson Profar, who's pretty much leading this entire team in all batting categories with a .319 ERA, 7 home runs, which is behind Cronenworth, and then 32 RBI, which is also slightly behind Cronenworth. But these two guys are really getting the job done. And then you also have Fernando Tatis Jr., who may not be leading the team in all those numbers, but he's getting some huge hits in critical moments, and then he's also playing great defense as well. And the Padres' starting pitching has been pretty much lights out for the most part. Then at number 9 on my top 10 MLB power rankings are the Atlanta Braves. Overall record of 30-20. They are 4-6 in their last 10 games. This past week, they won the series against the Chicago Cubs, but lost the series against the Pittsburgh Pirates. The Acuna injury really just kind of piles on to their season. It's been a very Jekyll and Hyde season from the Braves. It kind of felt like they were just now starting to get going, and then Acuna suffers this injury. Now, I guess if you look on the bright side, Acuna really hasn't had that good of a year at all for the Braves, so it's not like they're going to be missing a lot, but still, he is the reigning MVP, so you could tell that he is obviously a big part of this team, but they're still going to be one of the best teams in the league, even though right now they are on the downside of things. But having a phenomenal year is Chris Sale. He's got 8 wins on the year with a .212 ERA and 78 strikeouts. So if there's a bright spot to anything on this Braves team, it's definitely him and Marcell Ozuna. But other than that, everybody else has been pretty inconsistent. But it is still May, and there's still a lot of time for the Braves to find themselves. But that Acuna Jr. Injury, I'm sure, takes a lot out of this team. And then rounding out the top 10 MLB power rankings this week, I have the Seattle Mariners. Overall record of 28-26. They are 4-6 in their last 10 games. This past week, they split a series against the New York Yankees and then lost the series to the Washington Nationals. As you could tell, that's how difficult it was for me to decide these last couple of teams in the top 10 because I had to put the Mariners here. It's slim pickings once you get down past the Padres, really. I almost put my Giants in there because they actually are doing pretty decent, but they're still not that good of a team, so I couldn't do that just yet. But as far as the Mariners go, Castillo seems to have finally found his stride. You know, he had a great year last year, but then he started this year off really slow. But here he is. He's got 4 wins on the season with a 3.31 ERA and 69 strikeouts. So he's starting to get it going. And offensively, Cal Raleigh, he's been having a phenomenal year with 11 home runs and 28 RBI, which lead the team in both of those categories. So they seem to be getting it done, but also they are up and down. This is actually, which this division in baseball usually is the best division because, you know, it's got the Mariners, the Rangers, and the Astros who are usually just battling it out over the last couple of years. But this year, they're battling it out, but they are all three doing pretty bad. It's it kind of feels like it's been changing week to week on who's the hot team in that division. But so far, no team in this division has really been able to lock it down. So we'll see if there's any consistency from any of those teams. But so far, it's been slim pickings in the American League West so far. And then a bit of sad news that broke today is legendary Hall of Fame basketball player and announcer Bill Walton died today. He died of cancer. He played for the Portland Trail Blazers from 1974 to 1979. He played with the San Diego / Los Angeles Clippers from 1979 to 1985, and then played with the Boston Celtics from 1985 to 1988. He is one of the most legendary players of all time. I mean, when he played with the Portland Trail Blazers, he actually won the MVP in 1977. He also won a championship with them in 1977, and then would basically have a resurgence of his career when he went to Boston, because those were obviously some of the best Boston teams in the history of Boston Celtics, the organization. But he would go there in the 80s, and he would win a championship with them in 1986. So he is a two-time NBA champion. He also played with the UCLA Bruins in college, was a legendary college player as well, and won two championships with the UCLA Bruins. And for me personally, he just was always one of the best color commentators, just because he always offered great insight, but had a good sense of humor. And he just was always a good color commentator, in my opinion. But I hadn't seen him in a while, and I guess now we know why we hadn't seen him in a while, because he had been battling cancer, and unfortunately, he has died today at the age of 71. So RIP to Bill Walton, one of the greatest Hall of Fame legendary players the game has ever seen, and he will definitely be missed by the league. So enjoy the rest of the week of sports, y'all, and I will talk to you guys on Friday.